morning. My name is Brother Willie Lionel Reed, and I will be reading the scripture for this morning. This morning's scripture will be coming from Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. That is Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, and the title of this morning's sermon is All About Me. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and if you have it, it reads, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." May the Lord bless the hearers and doers of his word.
Oh, to God, changing hand.
Esther chapter 10, verse 3. Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Xerxes, preeminent among the Jews, and held in high esteem by his many fellow Jews, because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of all the Jews. Amen. Let me see. Good morning. So you got a couple of quick and dirty commercials before we continue. I want to invite you to a Sunday morning Bible study. It's on following Jesus, being taught by Brother Silv. Very enlightening. On Sunday morning, following Jesus, Sunday morning at 9. Also, 6 o'clock in the evening, on Sunday evening service, we following God through the Old Testament. We are backtracking so that we might understand God's will for our lives from the beginning of his creation until the end, where salvation takes us all, and God blesses us in our lives for being the people that he's called us to be. So this is a sermon series, 6 o'clock, on following God through the scriptures. I invite you to that as well. The last thing I got is, we didn't put it in the bulletin today, but next week will be too late. Daylight savings time is next Sunday. So set your clocks forward and don't be late. Amen? Daylight saving time, March 8, 2020. I want to say good morning to you. It's a wonderful thing for us to be here, for God has shined on us once again and given us life and light in his darling son, Jesus Christ, who is the savior of our lives. The lesson this morning is basically, it's all about me. All about me is the title of this lesson. Because someone has said that I got to be me, and you, well, you got to be you. And if you look at the above expressed desire and advice, I wonder whether, is it good or is it bad advice? And to me, I think it just depends on what is meant by it. Now, if the advice is to think and act independent of every wind that blows or pervasive influence, rather than to be like a reed shaken by the wind or a bark tossed about by the wind and every wave, then I imagine it's good. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 4:14 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive us. James says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So if that advice is about your desire to utterly disregard every consideration and influence except your own fleshly desires and your own appetites, then it's bad. It's bad for someone to say, just be you. And me, I'm going to be me. If indeed the intent is not a spiritual intent. Proverbs 29 and 15 says these words, "The rod and reproof gives us wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame." You see, both the Bible and experience in life teaches us that children, or even men, left to themselves, they come to disaster. To me, of the advice and the desire mentioned above, and often expressed, is a person and lifestyle that one has found through personal experimentation. It's a lifestyle that gives you pleasure and satisfaction. Whatever gives you satisfaction or fulfillment and makes you happy, we are told by this philosophy, is what you should be and what you ought to do. This is what's called finding oneself and discovering the real me. This is what is meant by these self-fulfilling platforms that we see all over this world that are so frequently desired and advised by people that certainly don't even know God. And Christians run headlong into all of that. So what the world says is then, if one is turned on by sexual freedom without marriage, if you turned on by homosexuality or incest or even living together, what we call shacking up, if you find fulfillment and satisfaction in that, then what the world says is that you found the real me, and we are told as a result of that that we ought to be accepted by society because that's the way he is. That's what society tells us. That's just the way I am, so you got to accept me. Okay. This same philosophy is following selecting the church and being religious. For example, when you look at me is God. It's always me. It's my mind. It all boils down to how I feel. It all boils down to what I think. It all boils down to what I like. You see, it's my own spirituality. It's my own religion. And it's our own fleshly desires and appetites that inspire and activate the disciples of this philosophy. Pure and simple, it's all humanism. It's a philosophy that rejects God, a philosophy that rejects man as a living soul, answerable to only his creator. It's a philosophy that rejects the Bible as God's divine revelation. And that philosophy would discourage being influenced by your parents, by laws, by the church, because it's all about you. It would discourage being influenced by school or any segment of society because, again, it's all about you. It's about me. And what I want, what I like. So be your own self. Because according to this philosophy, be your own self is the worst and most destructive advice you can ever receive. And when you fancy to your desire to be me, it is the most deceptive and damning desire you can ever have, spiritually. Why is that, Brother Collins? Because Romans chapter 7 and verse number 8 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Romans 8:6, "To be carnally minded is death." Romans 8:13, "If you live after the flesh, you shall die." Proverbs 14:12, "There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So if you will not accept this truth from Scripture, then history bears it out. Just look at history. The destruction of Rome and numerous other nations that became humanistic. Never looked to God at all for anything, but looked to themselves. Or you can just look around you. There's a lot of unhappiness and disaster in the lives of a lot of people. And their end comes to shame because they follow a humanistic course. They follow their own flesh, their own desires, and they feed their own appetites, and their lives have nothing to do with God. We're talking about people that are religious people who claim to follow after God. What do, though? They've got their own ideas about how things are supposed to go in this life. And they want to attach God on and grab God and put God in their pocket and bring him right along, but God isn't having any of that. Not having that. It's not about you. Listen, no one needs to set out to find who I am or to find myself or the real me and call it a spiritual journey. No one needs that because it's not a hidden or concealed matter. The world tells you that makes you feel good about yourself. Ooh, I've got to discover my soul me. I've got to discover who I am. I've got to get in touch with my spirit. What is that all about? What is it all about? Is not hidden. God is our divine creator, and he has shown you who and what you are, or rather what you should be. God has shown it to you. You're a human being, a living soul, Genesis 2:7. composed of body and spirit, and you are responsible for glorifying God here on earth and answerable only to him. The conclusion of the whole matter is this: let's fear God and keep his commandments. It's the whole duty of man. And God will bring every deed into the judgment and every secret thing, whether it's good or evil. We are answerable to God only. But we're trying to figure it out. It's already figured out. Forever, O Lord, is that word settled in heaven, Psalm 118. Forever, it's already settled. We got to figure it out for. Stop looking around and seeing only yourself. Look around and see somebody else for a change. Stop looking around and seeing only yourself, because when you see only yourself, you will never ever see who God is. Because it's all about me. And I've become my own God. And my religion has become my own religion. And my life has become my own life. And everything belongs to me. And I'm a self-made man, and everything belongs to me. I've made God to even be the way I want him to be, because it's all about me. Listen, everybody knows who you are. It's no secret at all. You might want to pretend that nobody doesn't know. Amen? Everybody knows who you are, and they know what you do. Now, what you actually are or have made yourself into through your attitudes and your deeds, listen, it's clearly visible to others. People see the world in you. And if people don't see the world in you, the flip side of that is, as a Christian, they ought to at least see Christ living in you. Visible, clearly visible. And you know what? You know it too. It's visible to yourself. But we don't want to come in touch with reality. We know who we are. We know what we have to do to shake the darkness. We live our lives trying to be me, trying to get in touch with the real me and find out who are. We live our lives with a exposed heart open before God and for everybody to see. Living a false pretense as if we serving God, when it's never, ever been about God at all. Pray to God for Louis Vuitton purses. None of that's in heaven. Amen. Red bottom shoes. Come on, huh? I want a Lamborghini and a house on the hill. That's not in heaven. Luke chapter 12 says these words, verses 16 through 20. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build bigger barns. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Who's it going to be for if you've done all of that, worked all in vain to get things from me, and you die? It's been said year after year after year that you can't take it with you, right? Some people get buried in the ground with a whole lot of things around them, and you don't even know it's in the ground with them. But that's just all you have. You die and you're buried. You know, some people, as this parable says, are exposed as selfish and pompous fools because it's all about them and never about God. A fool has said in his heart that there is no God. There's no God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Put God right in your pocket. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. We carrying around with us, God. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Some people are exposed as ignorant and deceived worshipers of God because they have no desire to place God first in their lives. Is God after? Here's an example. You got 10 bills on the table and you got $10,000. $999,000 go to those bills. And we dollar God to death. Because it's about you and getting what. And God is the one who gave it all to you. What are you giving back? Not even yourselves, but offer your bodies as living sacrifices, Paul said to the Romans, chapter 12. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is reasonable. It's reasonable to at least give yourself back to God. But we're giving ourselves to the world. And all these things that are out there, that desires of the eyes and the flesh and all those things we want, we're dripping to have these things. And it has nothing to do with our spiritual lives, but we still want to serve God and bring that along with us. We've got to get in touch with our spirit because this flesh will bring us down every time when it's all about me. Every time. Or have we forgotten that Jesus said, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, where are you trying to go? But we can learn from the Bible, you see. Because the Bible is God's mirror. And we can learn from the Bible what you really are and what you need to do. There's not a society out there. There's not a heart or a mind out there that are true spiritual mirrors of who we are, what we ought to be. It's just not out there. But you and a host of other generations of me disciples, some would say that I doubt the Bible. Okay. But if you doubt the Bible, are you suggesting that there's more logical evidence for human thought and feelings as authority for right and wrong than there is in Scripture? Are you suggesting that there's more logical evidence for success and failure than there is in Scripture? Are you suggesting that there's more logical evidence for your spiritual well-being out here in the world and in your own mind than comes from the mind of God? For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Are you suggesting that just because you're educated that you're smarter than God and everybody else now? 1 Corinthians 1:25, the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. So what should I be seeking? What is it that I should desire in my life? Let me tell you, since you asked, instead of wanting to be me or your own self, you should desire instead to be God's man or woman. That's what you ought to desire. You ought to desire to be for God and do for God every waking moment of your life, even if your eyes are not open, if you're breathing and your heart is beating, you ought to want to be God's man or woman. I tell you, if that rich farmer in the book of Luke could have submerged eye and mind to God's will, he wouldn't have been a fool destined for eternal death at all. Wouldn't have been there. The prodigal son of Luke 15, he left home for what? In search of himself. He went looking for himself. He went looking to find the real me. Give me what I desire, Daddy. Give me what's my inheritance. Give it to me right now. Because I've got to be me. I got to go find me. I got to find really who I am. I've got to go on this spiritual journey. And he went through experimentation with riotous living. And the Bible says when he finally came to himself, he saw the darkness living inside of that particular me that left home. And after all that searching, after all that discovering, he didn't like what he saw because he didn't plan to end up in a pig pen destitute and hungry. King Solomon says, everything is vanity. It's all vanity. And when you contrast the me then with the me of his former years, he realized that he had acted foolishly. Isn't it always the case? People realize they've acted foolishly after the fact. They don't sit and think about it before. Well, if I do this, that might be a little foolish to do that. So I'm going to jump in this mud hole anyway and break my ankle because it not. It done broke a lot of other people's ankles, but it ain't going to break mine. Right, brother? Because it's all about me. I'm going to show you I can jump in there and I'm not like you. My ankle is, look at my ankle. If you jump into hell, you're going to burn just like everybody else. And you better believe that. He set out to find out what he already had. And there are too many of us as Christians setting out to find things that we already have. God gives us generously all of his blessings, all of them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and everything that you want your heart's desire, God will give it to you. He set out to find what he already had in his father's house. He had happiness there. Finding himself was all sadness. He had fulfillment there. Finding himself was not fulfilling. He had satisfaction there. You think he was satisfied living with pigs? But here's what I want you to see. He was selfish as can be. He took everything his father had to give him and he left with it. But there was another son living there who was selfish as well. And we never see the flip side of that. The other selfish son, he never left home, but did just as we do today. We display an all about me attitude that also breaks God's heart as well. He shows us that the reality of being in the presence of God and serving with a false and selfish intent is not seeking the things of God. It's not appreciating nor willing to share the blessings of God with anybody, and that's equally as sinful. There are a lot of people sitting in God's house right now in the presence of God filled with selfishness. It's all about them. It ain't about nobody else. And we're sitting in the presence of God. No, we didn't leave like the other brother and waste our life on riotous living. We sitting right here pouting about what God ain't doing for us, when he actually is already. But we can't see it because we're blinded by selfishness, by sin and deceit. If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, you're going to find out what Satan said to Adam and Eve. You go ahead and eat this because you will be like God. Sometimes that's what we want. We want to be like God. And we don't want to be like God. We want to be like Mike. I don't know what that's all about. All of it is equally sinful, church, is what I'm saying. Look, Paul wrote to the church in Philippi in chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. And this is what he said. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged, and when I know your state, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Let me tell you what happened to me. Somehow throughout the years, I missed this statement right in this scripture. And the statement says, for all seek their own. For whatever reason, I missed it, or at least it failed to register in my mind. Now with the light on and finally having seen it, I believe there's a powerful lesson taught by Paul in this short statement, as well as in the scriptures that we've said previously here today. All of us have experienced dealings with people who show that they are very selfish. And all of us have been there as well. Amen? Some of us are there right now. We can't see past ourselves. Everything belongs to me. My God. My house. My car. They don't want their bills, though. but selfishness is a fact that seems to be a part of of being human unless we train ourselves not to be selfish. And the only reason to so train ourselves is that God wants us as his children not to long for preeminence, not to be better than anybody else, or not to think of ourselves and what we may want, but of what is also good for each other. We've got to stop thinking about ourselves and move past ourselves and start thinking about somebody else, and most importantly, start thinking about God. Amen. Early in the same chapter, Paul told the Philippian brethren, Philippians 2, 3, and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in lowliness of mind, but in humility, let each esteem others better than himself. But we don't want to tell nobody they're better than us. You can't be, right? What kind of competition is this trying to get to heaven? It's this. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let's read this again. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others, of somebody else. Can you just help somebody? Can you just do it? You know, and to the Christians at Corinth, Paul wrote this, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. 1 Corinthians 10:24. We're not looking for our own, but we're looking for the good of others. In fact, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians showing the nature of love that commands us to have, you know what he wrote? And I think we missed this sometime. 1 Corinthians 13:5. He says, love does not seek its own. Isn't that a good one? So if you have love for God and love for your fellow man, that love does not seek its own, period. But it's all about me. I got to find me, the real me and who I am. I'm seeking to discover my spirituality. Listen, loving one another as God demands is going to do away with all selfishness, every bit of it. You won't have none of it in you because you love God and God loves you and you love your fellow man. Doesn't matter if they're your wife, works on your nerves, you're going to love them. Doesn't matter if it's your husband who doesn't do the things you tell him to do. You're going to love him. Doesn't matter if it's your children who are defiant and don't want to do the things you ask or tell them to do, you're going to still love them because selfishness doesn't come into play. Love does not seek its own. So what about me? What about me? What about you, Brother Collins? Is it all about me? Is it all about Brother Collins? Am I self-willed and always wanting my own way? Am I selfishly pushing my plans and thoughts on other people? Here's what we got to do. Here's what God calls all of us to do today. To look into your own heart. Look into your heart. Because we have to work on our own soul salvation. It's about saving our souls and living with God in eternity. You know, when you finally get to heaven, you're going to find out that, that there's no me or you up there. Amen? It's no what I want or what I need up there. What you're going to find out when you die is what the guy found out in Luke 16. He was letting crumbs fall off his table, and Lazarus was eating those crumbs, and dogs was licking his sores, the Bible says in Luke 16. It says, and Lazarus died and appeared in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and he was buried. It says he opened up his eyes in torments, and he says, Father Abraham, if thou will, just let me dip my finger in
and allow Abraham to cool my tongue. He says, you can't go over there where Abraham, in Abraham's bosom, where Lazarus is at. Because while you was on earth, you did just what you wanted to do. You found yourself. You were me. It was the me philosophy. And now you're sitting here burning in hell because you didn't do for Lazarus what you should have did. You did it all for you. He said, well, wait a minute, Father Abraham. I've got brothers that's living up there. Can somebody go back and tell them? Or just at least let me go back and tell them. He said, they got people living up there right now already. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, if somebody come back from the dead, they won't believe him either. What I'm asking you to do today is not die in your own selfishness. Don't do it. Because you can't come back and redo it. You only get one try at this life. And if you've never given yourself to God, you'll never get that reward that you're seeking right now. You know who you are. God knows your heart. He knows who you are as well. It's always been about giving, for God so loved the world, this nasty, rotten world. God loved me. This sinful man that's standing before you, God loved me so much, he sent his son to die for me. What if God would have been selfish? But you find he's not selfish, because Jesus, on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, listen, I'm going to yield, God. I don't want to do it for these wicked people. I don't want to do it for these selfish people, for these people who want their own thing. But if it's your will, I will not be selfish. If it's your will, Lord, I will not deny the fact that these people's lives need to be saved. If it's your will, it is. Let it be done. And I'm asking you today to let it be done. Be done with all this selfishness and all this deceit that you, be done with all these lies and all these cover-ups and all this facade that you're putting on. Be the Christian, the man, the woman that God has called you to be, devoid of selfishness. Can you do that? Can you even step outside of yourself and love me a little bit more than you're loving me? Can I do that for you? Can you step outside of yourself and love that person that's doing you wrong right now? That's the hardest lesson that we got to learn. Love your enemies as yourself. You know, I find Paul saying it again in Ephesians. Loves your wives as yourself. Oh boy, that takes a lot of selfishness. You know how when you're cooking turkey and you take that little stopper thing and you draw that fluid up? You take it out of there, right? The love of God takes a lot of that selfishness out of us. Matter of fact, it will take all of it. But you've got to allow the love of God to be an integral part of your life. To open up your hearts and your minds to a world that's even greater than your own selfish mind. To a world of life and pleasure in the Spirit of God. Oh, we all want pleasure and satisfaction. We want it. And we'll do anything that we possibly can do to get it. But God has given us all that we need, Peter said. Said to the Jews of dispersion, God has given us all we need for life and godliness. What more you want? He said the same thing to David. He says, why did you take it, Uriah's wife? Why did you do that? He says, if you wanted more, I would have given it to you. Was that not enough? Selfishness. He saw it with his eyes. He desired it with his heart. And he went after it with a sinful intent. And that's the exact same thing we do. So we got to train our eyes and our hearts to see God, to see this Jesus Christ, this unselfish God of ours who came and became a human, became who and what we were, that we might learn not to be a selfish lot, but to serve, to seek to serve, and to love and be loved
You know, I'm aware that such an inner look might just be so painful because some people, again, can't step outside of themselves, and they refuse to do it. Some people won't even apologize for stepping on your toe because they heard them say they're sorry. I'm aware of that, church, that looking inwardly sometimes might be painful because we see the darkness, we see it. It was for me the same way, and it was the most deceptive and damning desire that I could ever possess. But now, listen to me, but now I am crucified with, you with me? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It's yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. You see that? And the life which I now live in the flesh, oh, it's devoid of selfishness. I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and was so unselfish that he gave himself for me. It wasn't about Christ. We can't let it be about us. It was about salvation. Christ says, Lord, no, look, if it's your will, go ahead. I'm going to die. I don't want it to be just about me. I want my people to live. The same ones that put these thorns on my head and I'm bleeding. The same ones who whipped me and, oh, who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's always been about the Christ. It's never been about me. We've got to come to that realization. Listen, and if you can just admit it to yourself, that it's not about me, you might start to heal and get better. But those words are never going to come out of our mouths because it is all about me. What else could it be about? Listen, when people look in the mirror, I think they look in the mirror to improve what they see, right? But sometimes people look in the mirror and don't see everything that needs to be seen. They don't see everything that's there. Amen? Look again. That's what I see. Look again. And when you look beyond yourself and see God. Because the mirror of his word tells us exactly who we are and who we ought to be. You don't have to go looking for yourself. You don't have to go searching to find yourself. Listen, if you're willing to deny yourself and crucify yourself, if you sink your will into God's will and follow his lead, you're going to like yourself. Some people don't even like themselves. That's reality. If you follow God's will and his lead, you're going to like yourself. You're going to be liked by others as well. And most of all, you're going to be loved by God. Living for yourself will never, ever bring you happiness. It'll make you unpleasant and disagreeable to other people. It'll make you a stench in the nostrils of God and result in your denial and your condemnation at the great day of judgment. And your eternity will be just like that of the rich man, begging to get back on earth to do what you should have did in the beginning. Do it now while your eyes are open. Do it now while you can take a nice breath of fresh air. Do it now. Sorry is only a five-letter word, isn't it? Am I counting that right? Sorry. That's all it is. Doesn't take a whole lot of effort to even say it. Repentance is what being sorrowful is all about. And that's what God calls us to. So I say, quit trying to justify yourself. I say, quit trying to find yourself. I say quit searching for the real me and get busy making the present you into a man or woman of God. Can you do it? Oh, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. We just got to be reminded sometimes that we are a selfish lot. We got to be reminded sometimes that it's not all about me. But we don't want nobody to tell us that because that's an insult right there. Amen? That's fighting words. You want to pull your hair back. What you said? I ain't pulled my hair back in so long. Listen, God calls us, church, to hear his word. And if you close your mind and close your heart, you'll never hear God's word. He says in John 6:45, it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that had heard and learned of the Father, he says, he comes unto me. He doesn't sit there selfish and allow sin to dominate his life. He come to God. You got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God, John 8:24. We know that Jesus is the Christ. We just got to internalize it and live it. We got to repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5. I tell you, nay, unless you repent, you're going to likewise perish. You're going to die. We got to confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10. A lot of people confess a whole lot of things, but it's mostly about who they are and who they want to be, or rather think they should be. And then three words come out of their mouths all the time. I'm the man. Sure you are. A condemned one. But you don't have to be. You can confess Christ. You can be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Galatians 3:26-27 says, for we all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Selfishness is something else, isn't it? Well, it's going to continue to be something else as long as we perpetuate it. What we have to do is not seek our own, but seek those things that are of God and his kingdom. And he's going to bless our lives tremendously. You'll see. I dare you to try it. I dare you to stop being selfish and to give all that you have and all that you are to God. Allow him to bless your life. If we can help you do that today, won't you come as we stand and sing God's invitation song?